So by the time of Apollo 11, you'd become the station director at TED.
Yes. M.S. Kirkpatrick, who'd been our superintendent, died. Bob Leslie got promoted to Senior Assistant Secretary, Space Projects, and I won the job at TED as a station director.
So when was that?
Let me think. It was sometime in, pretty sure in 68, might have been late 67, 68. It was well ahead of the Apollo 11 mission, I know that.
So you were at Honeysuckle for Apollo 13 then, that was the first mission there.
Yep, yes. A routine mission that no one was interested in. Suddenly became a pretty big event. But, you know, it wasn't as if I was an inexperienced person. I'd had 3 years in Woomera in the space business. I'd had 15 years in the Air Force in operational-type situations.
You'd been tracking Apollo at Tibbin Villas.
And we had been tracking it, yes, so we weren't unfamiliar with it. I had quite a bit to do with Parks when we were setting up the emergency crews who would go there to. So, you know, I knew the system pretty well.
You knew a lot of the people who were involved.
Most of the people who were involved, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as if it was a new boy off the street, fortunately.
Yes.
I'm very proud of the performance of the whole Australian system in that Apollo 13, I really am. And most of the people, those who are still with us, are still my friends. So we did something right. Yeah, nobody held back in any way at all to get that thing to work well and to get those fellas back. I must say, I was always impressed by Gene Kranz's statement, failure is not an option.
Yes.
I had met Gene a number of times, actually, when we'd go to Houston for briefings.
Yes.
He was a big, tough man, he really was.
And a man of few words.
Yes, yes. Whereas Chris Kraft could talk up a storm.
Yes.
He was a lovely man. Chris was my baseball coach. He taught me the finer nuances of baseball. They took us out to the Astrodome, which was the first all-enclosed stadium.
Mm.
The interesting thing about that was when Houston tried to get a team into the National Baseball League, the commissioner said, when you've got an air-conditioned field, you can play. So they built it the next year.
Yeah. It's so humid in Houston, is it?
Oh, yeah. And the smell of petroleum in the oil smell is in the air. And the more humid it becomes, the worse it smells.
Yeah.
The people there are very good people. Like most Texans, I'm just a bit bigger than life, you know. Never seen so many enormous belt buckles in all my life as you would see walking around the Johnson Space Flight Center.
It was the place where everything was happening, wasn't it?
It was.
A heady atmosphere.
Oh, yes. And the funny thing, you know, you'd be going around there on the briefing tours, and they'd pop into a set of offices and say, come on in, and there'd be half a dozen astronauts in there, and I'd all say hello, and then you go and have a cup of coffee with them in the canteen. That's where I first met Alan Shepard, was in the canteen at Houston, you know. I was overawed, and what I couldn't get over was that he was a small man, But he was so dynamic. He had a gigantic personality inside this small, bouncing frame, you know. Quite a man. I'd never ever met John Glenn. That was one of the things I would love to have done, but he went out of the system before I got into it, you know.
And you had a few astronauts come and visited Honeysuckle.
Oh, yes, quite a number of astronauts at various times came through. And
that was from morale building, I guess, too, among other things?
And a lot of them had spent time in Carnarvon in the Mercury and Gemini days. And I think some of them were coming out as a sort of reward for service, you know, and get back and have another Foster's Lager because they loved that stuff. But yes, mostly it was to give the troops heart and to know that these people cared. And
these were people that whose lives were depending on their
work. Going to depend on their work later on, yeah.
This one lager with Apollo 16, didn't you, with John Young and Charlie Duke on the lunar surface?
Yes, yes. I know John Saxon prides himself on being the only station operator ever to have talked directly to the astronauts when communications to Houston went out. And it did result in us getting a shipment of Foster's Lager from the Swan Brewer, no, Swan Lager they liked. Swan Lager was what they liked because they'd been in Western Australia.
Yes.
And John spoke to John Young and Charlie Chick, and he said he'd love to be back to have a Swan Lager. And Swan were just running a big promotion in America at the time, and of course this came out over their networks, and they couldn't have got it any other way. So they shipped us a huge amount of beer for our Christmas party. So some things work out well. But I thought it was remarkable when the Endeavour was going over Australia, and it sprung a leak.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah. So I did, in fact, take a section of Captain Cook's diary. The National Library provided me with photostats, and I took three sets over and presented them to the Endeavour astronauts.
Yes.
And
15,
yeah. Mm. Mm. And they were quite intrigued by it. But we had working for us one of the ops supervisors at the time, Laurie, who was a fellow who, with the straightest of face,
Laurie Turner,
used to fool you into thinking what he was saying was the absolute truth. He allegedly got hold of this bit of Captain Cook's diary. He had this thing, and it listed jettisoning cannons and deck cargo, and even including the captain's chamber pot. And I was on the verge of telling him this at Houston when he rushed in and said, "No, no, the chamber pot's not in it." Oh, he was a funny man.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, I sort of learnt to be a bit more cautious after that.